Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And now, two-time Democratic presidential hopeful, Ohio Congressman Dennis Kucinich, who speculation has it may try to become Washington State Congressman Dennis Kucinich, a victim of the census, as redistricting will apparently eliminate Kucinich's Cleveland seat. Perhaps there will be another home for this national leader of the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. Congressman Kucinich, always good to have you on the show. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. Good morning from Washington, D.C.
Most of the news stories on you right now are about you considering a move to the Seattle area to run for a seat there that the census will actually add. How seriously are you considering that?
Well, you know, there's speculation about where I might go, but I haven't really made any decision about relocating anywhere. But what I have said is that if my seat in Cleveland is lost in a redistricting, that I will look elsewhere, and my options will include looking out of state.
And you did a fundraiser in the Seattle area last weekend, so that was considered an indication. You're a lifelong Clevelander. You were elected to the city council in the 60s, mayor in the 70s, and now a congressman for a long time from right there. How could you make a claim, if you decide to do this, to be the best representative of the people from a Seattle district where you've never lived?
Well, I think it's important to establish at the beginning of this conversation that I have not made any decision to relocate anywhere. That's number one. Number two, my work in the Congress has been work that's affected the whole country in terms of standing up for workers' rights, for peace, for environmental quality, working to make sure that we have an economy that where social and economic justice principles are part of what guides us. So, you know, this is the work that I have in the Congress. It's relevant in Cleveland. But what I found in my campaigns for the presidency is that all over the country there were people who were responding to the same themes that I have raised in Cleveland as a member of Congress.
Anybody want to talk issues or politics with Dennis Kucinich? We have a few minutes for calls, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And I know it's the pledge drive, so don't confuse the two numbers. This is our on-air line. We'll never ask you for money on the air. 1-212-433-WNYC to talk to Congressman Kucinich this morning, or you can post your question on our site, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. You see yourself as something more than a representative of a geographical district, based on your last answer, as a national leader of a wing of the Democratic Party. And an example of your role in the party came on the House floor just yesterday when you gave a speech declaring the war in Libya unconstitutional and President Obama in violation of the Constitution and the law. Want to expand on that?
Well, there's no question. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution makes it mandatory that Congress has the war power. The president basically appropriated that power for himself, took us into a war without there being any threat to the United States, and has failed to not only abide by the Constitution, but the War Powers Act, which requires him to report back to Congress in 60 days and get authorization. He hasn't done that. And so this is a nation of laws, not of men and women, and we have to abide by the laws and the Constitution. And I'm insisting that President Bush do that, just or Obama do that, just like I insisted President Bush do it. And I think that if we're going to talk about the Constitution, we have to do it in a way that does not relate to partisan politics.
The president might say Libya is not a U.S. war, but a NATO action, with the U.S. taking part merely as a NATO member. In fact, Republicans are screaming that the U.S. should be leading this, but oh my God, we're letting others do it.
Well, there's a couple of things we have to keep in mind. First of all, that we pay the largest share of NATO's military bills of any country in their coalition, but also that 93% of the cruise missiles we're using are from the United States. 66% of the personnel in the Libyan war come from the U.S. 50% of the ships, 50% of the planes. So this is NATO? I mean, come on. Look, I think the American people ought to be fed up with a government that says one thing and does another. And if I do anything and add to this debate, it's to just call it as I see it, and the way I see it is generally the way it is.
How about Afghanistan? Is the president doing better there, in your view, with his plan to start bringing home troops this summer and perhaps the killing of Osama bin Laden in Pakistan in that equation?
Well, let's first start with the rate of withdrawal. If we look at the promise to withdraw 5,000 troops from Afghanistan, we're going to be there for, projecting that over a period of time, we'll be there for another 10 years. We should not be in Afghanistan. We should have been out of it. We should not have stayed in Afghanistan after the initial attack that responded to 9/11. I think that we had every right to respond to the attacks of 9/11. But to invade and occupy the country, it was a failed mission from the beginning. We're holding hands with some of the most notorious types in the region when we look at the drug activity that's going on there, when we look at paying for the conveyance of our goods through enemy territory and having to pay the very people who, when we are through with moving the goods through, they start shooting at us again. To try to deal with Mr. Karzai, who, to put it charitably, is not a particularly honest person. We are losing our way in Afghanistan, and we have to get out, just like we have to finally get out of Iraq and change America's role in the world. Now, with respect to Osama bin Laden, everyone knows what Osama bin Laden represented. The question is, what do we represent? Do we represent a rule of law? Do we represent a constitutionally based form of justice? Or are we going to now bring forth a model of retributive justice, of vengeance, and make that the way that we deal with the world? Because if we're going to do that, we should say that. And if that's the way we're going to proceed, we have to think of the effect it will have in our own country. And so, this is a debate we should have in this country about who we are, not about who he is. We know what he represented.
You saw that as retributive justice rather than a raid to arrest him if it was unthreatening or kill him if necessary?
I wasn't in the room, and then you weren't either. So we don't know what happened there. But all I know is there's conflicting press accounts about what happened. And I'm looking at a much larger question that goes way beyond that individual and way beyond all the other individuals who may be targeted with drone attacks even as we speak. It goes to what is the model of justice that we are standing by in the United States. That's the question that needs to be asked and the debate we should have.
Congressman Dennis Kucinich, my guest on WNYC from Cleveland. If you're just joining us, the news around Congressman Kucinich right now is that his Cleveland district is probably going to be eliminated through redistricting with the shrinking population of Ohio, and he's considering running perhaps in the Seattle area, perhaps elsewhere in Ohio, but maybe even out of state, which would be very unusual to run for Congress from somewhere else. Bud in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Congressman Kucinich. Hello.
Hi, thank you very much. First of all, I just wanted to say that, Congressman, I was very active in your 2004 presidential candidacy in New York here. But that being said, I don't understand where you and others who find yourself in the same predicament always use the phrase that I'm going to lose my district. It's not your district. You are still going to be living where you're living now. I guess it's someplace on Lorraine Avenue in Cleveland, Ohio.
And, Bud, I get the question. I'm going to leave it there, and I appreciate it just for time. So what he's asking you is where you live now is going to be part of some congressional district. Why don't you run for that seat?
Well, I think he's asking something else. So, look, I don't own the district. Yeah, I have to stand for election every few years, and people can vote me up or vote me down. I understand that. I freely acknowledge that, and nobody owes me anything. It's an honor to serve. Now, having said that, when Ohio lost two seats in the redistricting, and by all accounts of Republican leaders in Ohio, my seat is going to be one of the ones that basically is going to be the seat that I hold right now.
Which incumbent would be representing that district?
I don't know. I mean, there's speculation as to what the maps are, but I've already received the word. Don't expect to have a place to run from.
Do you think our politics have become so polarized and really so nationalized that representing a geographical district is less important than it used to be as compared with representing the national ideals of your party?
Well, you know, you're talking to me from New York State, where Bobby Kennedy moved from Massachusetts to run for senator. Hillary Clinton moved from Arkansas to run for senator. So I think that it's generally, you know, it is understood that this is not unheard of. Now, you know, wherever I decide to run, and I don't know where that'll be yet, you know, I'm certainly going to have to make my case just like anyone else would be in those circumstances. And our politics nationalized? Look, you have to know what's going on locally. There's no question about that. I'm a pretty quick study. But you really need to know the local territory. Tip O'Neill was right when he said all politics are local. But there is a connection between what's local and what's national. If you have an infrastructure falling apart, that's a national issue. If you have workers who don't, you know, people who want to go to work, don't have work, that's a national issue. If you have people losing their homes, that's a national issue. So, you know, the issues that happen nationally, there's a connection between what's going on locally. And I have a very deep understanding of local politics, but it's an understanding that recognizes that local politics tend to have a kind of organic function that translates from one area to another, but it doesn't mean all areas are alike. They're not.
Michael in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Dennis Kucinich. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Kucinich. Big fan, major supporter of you. I was calling to ask where things stood on your universal health care proposal that you proposed with Connors a couple of years back. It seems like it hardly got any press attention, and I wanted to know what kind of support it had at the time, and is there any chance of you bringing universal health care to the forefront once again?
And yes. Congressman, before you even answer that, I got to tell you that our board, it's like calls for Santa Claus. These are all people who are supporters of yours. Talk about being a leader of the wing of the party and you know, nationalizing politics. People are and we're not going to have time to take most of these, but people are calling to ask, like Michael, is there hope for single-payer health? Is there hope for unions in America? Is there hope for our democracy? I'm just saying this so people understand what a symbol you are to, you know, a certain percentage of Americans.
Well, the answer to all those three questions is yes. I'm going to bring forward a proposal for single-payer once again. The president's reform was in the context of a for-profit system. We need to move towards a not-for-profit system. I'm going to do that with some changes which will involve bringing in integrative medicine, complementing alternative medicine, and having that covered too. With respect to workers, we have to stand up for workers' rights. They have to be included in our trade agreements. We've got to defend workers who are under attack in all the states, and you know, I would call forth everyone to do that. And finally, is there hope for our democracy? Only if we keep challenging these wars, which generally are based on misinformation. Only if we keep challenging the national security state, which is building here, which unfortunately the Patriot Act is due to be reauthorized, we need to keep pushing back and reclaim our basic rights that unfortunately have been lost due to high-ranking officials promoting a psychology of fear. America is a nation of courageous people. We need to call upon that courage, and it's that courage which will light our path towards a more democratic nation.
On single-payer, did you hear about Vermont probably enacting
Yes.
statewide single-payer in a vote tomorrow?
Well, I've met with the governor. Vermont certainly is one of those places where it's where single-payer is on a threshold of becoming a reality. You know, we need to make sure that those states will be able to have the appropriate waivers so that they can move forward with their planning. And as in Canada, where a breakthrough in a province led eventually to a national health care system, I think a breakthrough at the state level will help increase the demand for a not-for-profit health care system nationally.
Maybe you should run for Congress in Vermont.
They have great members there and a wonderful senators, and they're lucky.
They already elect Bernie Sanders, so maybe they'd elect Dennis Kucinich. One more call. Joe in Paramus, we have 30 seconds for you. Hi.
Yeah, hi, Congressman Kucinich. This is surprising because I just called your office 2 days ago, and I said, why are you all of a sudden so quiet? You used to come out and speak so much. Now, are you part of the conspiracy like Cynthia McKinney and Paul Findlay that you're speaking up against the military-industrial infrastructure and that they sidelined you for this reason?
Well, let me just say, I haven't been the first person to challenge the military-industrial complex. I mean, in modern times, it was Dwight D. Eisenhower. And so I think that
in his farewell address,
absolutely. So we need to understand that we will not be able to have a domestic agenda if we keep this circumstance where 50% of discretionary spending goes for the Pentagon. We need to defend our country, but we're spending more for military than the rest of the world combined. And we need to have jobs for all, and health care for all, and education for all, and retirement security, and we need peace. And we have to start thinking that war is inevitable, because that very thought creates the self-fulfilling prophecy of war, which is driving us into debt and driving us into an isolation from the world community instead of integrating with the world community, which frankly is the advancing tempo of the times.
And we have about 20 seconds left. You're deciding where to run for Congress from next year. Should I assume that despite your dissatisfactions with President Obama that you've articulated here, you're not considering your third consecutive run in the Democratic presidential primaries?
No, I'm not a candidate for president. You know, I Congress is a co-equal branch of government. I think I hope that I'll be able to continue to be of service in the House of Representatives. I just do not know where I'll be running at this point.
Congressman Dennis Kucinich, we appreciate your time with us.
And I thank you and everyone who's listening. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come.